Is this an iPhone?
Today we are going to learn about the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, the mitzvah of loving our fellow. And I have to tell you that the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael could rightly be said is a primary and foundational mitzvah within the teachings and illumination of Chassidus. Although, to be sure, it is a primary and foundational mitzvah in really all of Yiddishkeit. Everybody knows the words of Rabbi Akiva, V'yahavta l'recha kamecha, said Rabbi Akiva, Ze klal godel batayra. This is a great rule in the Torah. And we have the words of Hillel, who was approached by a person who desired to convert, but he wanted to fast track. He didn't want to waste any time. He had no patience. And he said, just teach me the Torah on one foot. And Shammai hit him over the head, rightly. Like, what kind of chutzpah is that? But Hillel simply said to him, Mada Allah sani lechavrech lesaved, that which is hateful unto you, don't do to somebody else. Zehu, he said, zu kol ha-teira. This is the whole Torah. Ve'idach, the rest is pirusha. Now this is a very difficult thing to understand. How exactly is making kiddush on Shabbos v'yahavta l'recha kamecha? How does wearing tzitzis or lighting Shabbos candles, how does that become a reflection or an interpretation or a commentary on the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'recha kamecha? What page? Chapter 32. The answer is it isn't. It isn't. I mean, certainly doesn't seem to be. And how and why is that a klal gadol b'Torah? So some maintain that it's a klal gadol b'Torah because there are many, many mitzvahs, maybe even most of the mitzvahs, that somehow hinge on the way we treat others, and therefore the mitzvah becomes a klal gadol b'Torah. Well, the thing is, that's not what he said. He didn't say it's a klal gadol. Rabbi Akiva said it's a klal gadol. Okay, you can get away with saying a klal gadol means that it affects many mitzvahs. But Hillel says it's kol ha-teira kula. So the question, of course, is what does that mean? And you should know, as a matter of fact, that outside of the teachings of Chassidus, there is no literal explanation to the words of the sages. Hillel's words don't make sense. Even Rabbi Akiva's words barely make sense. And they have to be understood in, borrowing metaphor and using ideas. And you can't take it literally because it just doesn't add up. And furthermore, if when you come to the mitzvah itself, the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'recha kamecha itself, which is you shall love your fellow as yourself, the Mefarshim have a hard time with this. They deal with this. What exactly does that mean? How could that be? Ramban says it's not possible. How could you love somebody as you love yourself? Or Chizkuni, Penech Roza, they all express themselves in amazement at what exactly the Torah is expecting us. If the Torah would say you should love your fellow, okay, fine, it's a mitzvah to love your fellow. But love as yourself, everybody knows that that is practically impossible. You can't love somebody as much as you love yourself. Everybody has a survival instinct. Everybody cares about themselves more. So here's the good news. The Alter Rebbe, through the illuminating teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, what's known as Teiras HaChassidus, actually sheds light on this and explaining it in a literal way. He says, yes, Ahavas Yisrael is the whole Torah. And he says, how could you fulfill the mitzvah loving a fellow as yourself? Come along with me and you'll find out. So that's how we arrive at Perek Lamed Beis. Now, in fairness, Perek Lamed Beis is the 32nd chapter that follows many chapters that come before it. And specifically, the Alter Rebbe begins that he says, "V'hine al yedei kiyum hadvarim hanal," by fulfilling all the things we learned about earlier. So obviously, this is a continuation of that which is written earlier. It must be so, because it's in a cadence of chapter following chapter. So the chapters of Tanya, specifically chapter 19 through chapter 31, that deal with how we should find joy in, and how we should be able to elevate ourselves, and so on and so forth. All of this leads us into the fulfillment of what we're about to start talking about, which enables the fulfillment of the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'recha kamecha. Having said this, it is important to know that chapter 32 of Tanya is in some ways a standalone. It is in some ways a standalone. And it's telling and compelling. We know that the Alter Rebbe did everything in a very, very precise way, that the 32nd chapter of Tanya, which spells the Hebrew word, lev, and a lev, a heart, is at the center of the body, and the heart pumps life into the whole body, and so it is this chapter of Tanya that serves as the heart of the book, and it pumps life and vitality into all of the teachings of Tanya, from the first chapter all the way to the 53rd chapter. And furthermore, it's also noted that the mitzvah of v'yahavta l'recha kamecha is achieved through which part of a person? With your heart. It's a mitzvah of love, and love resides in the heart. So, of course, this chapter is lev, which means heart. With this little preface, and preamble, let us begin, my friends, the study of chapter 32 of Tanya. Tanya 32 opens up with a discussion of body and soul. And where do we have our primary emphasis? What is preeminent? And depending on what is preeminent and where the primary emphasis is, we will see if it's possible or impossible to fulfill this mitzvah. Vehine, says the Alter Rebbe in Perek Lamed Beis, al yedei kiyum advarim hanal, by fulfilling the things that we've already talked about, specifically from chapter 29 to 31, in which the Alter Rebbe deals with how a person is supposed to find joy and what a person should find joy in. And we talked about the idea that a person is going to get down on his situation and circumstances. And Alter Rebbe said that the joy he should find is in setting the soul free. That should be his joy. That was the last thing we talked about. That even after Amor de Chushbina, after making this long and honest self-reckoning, and a person comes to the conclusion that he or she is very far off base, so that can bring it to a state of moroseness and depression and melancholy and sadness, and that's not a good thing. So how will that enable you to overcome the emotional deficit disorder that you're experiencing where you're not responding to stimuli, spiritual stimuli? And the Alter Rebbe's answer was that you should find joy not in the fact that you ultimately, for the most part, are a behemoth who's a selfish, snarling, pleasure-seeking, self-aggrandizing-seeking animal, but instead, you should find pleasure in the notion that you're a beautiful neshama, and your neshama is stuck in this dumb body, and the neshama desperately wants to set itself free, and every time you do a mitzvah, you experience spiritual weightlessness, and you set yourself free, and that's where simchas nefesh should be. That's where your joy should be. And that should motivate you, and that should give you a sense of fulfillment in life. So it's very easy to talk about these things. It was probably not so easy for the Alter Rebbe to write it out and explain it. It's certainly most difficult for us actually to fulfill it. It's one thing to articulate ideas. It's another thing to spill them into ink onto a book. And the hardest of all is taking it out of the book and putting it into your heart, setting this into motion, actually living by these ideals. So, by yidei kiyum advarim anal. Kiyum advarim means the fulfillment of these things, not the learning, not yidei limud dvarim, not through learning these things. Because after learning them, you have to contemplate them, download them, and bring them to action, into reality. But by bringing these things into a sense of everyday life, by ensuring that our existence is permeated by and guided by these ideas and ideals, which ultimately, what are these ideas if you have to sum them up in half a sentence? That a person's bodily reality should be despised in his own eyes, that he has no room, rhyme, reason, or patience for what the body has to say. That's not what life's about for him. Where will his joy be? The joy will be the joy of the soul alone, not also the joy of the soul. There are many people who delight in all kinds of pleasures. They like roast beef, and they enjoy good music, and they enjoy all kinds of other sensual libido, and they also enjoy spirituality, and they also enjoy feeling close to God. That's not what we're talking about. A person who has his spiritual enjoyment or pleasure as one of many things that he or she does is not fulfilled the words of the Alter Rebbe. The words of the Alter Rebbe mean that you're a person who has redirected yourself. Where do you find your joy? Where do you find your fulfillment? In Simchas HaNefesh. That's who you are. That defines you. If that defines you, Levada, that is the sole definition, that's who you've become, then you will be able to fulfill this mitzvah. Reizu, it doesn't mean the mitzvah is fulfilled already. But now you're at a point that you have reached a derech yeshara v'kala. You've reached a straightforward and a relatively simple path. Lovay to come lidei kiyom mitzvahs v'yahavta l'reacha kamecha, to come to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of loving your fellow as yourself. The Alter Rebbe did not just come in Perek Lamed Beis to tell us how it's possible. He didn't come to teach us about, you want to know why and how Hillel HaZaken could say, Madaloch Sani Lechavik Nesal. Here's the explanation. Alter Rebbe doesn't frame Perek Lamed Beis as an explanation. He frames Perek Lamed Beis as a practical guide. He says, if you do these things, then you will come to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Not you will understand the meaning of the mitzvah. This is not a commentary on V'ahavta L'reacha Kamecha. This is a book that was written for self-help. This is a book that was written for you to be able to realize your spiritual potential. So when you will take these things to heart and fulfill them and live by them, then you will arrive at the fulfillment or the possibility of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of V'ahavta L'reacha Kamecha. Now it happens to be that even if we're not actually fulfilling this, we're just learning about it, we're going to walk away with an amazing understanding of this mitzvah, but it's not what it's about. This is not about having nice understandings of something. It's not about having a good grasp of things. It's about living by it. It's about changing yourself. V'ahavta rachamecha is the 206th mitzvah according to the Rambam and the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. It is an actual mitzvah in the Torah. It's an actual mitzvah. And then, of course, you have to ask yourself the question, what sets this mitzvah aside from the other mitzvahs which seem ahavas Yisrael like giving tzedakah, like not abusing somebody, like you know, all the details in the Torah which are seemingly part of the fulfillment of the ahavta rachamecha. But that's a good question and a subject for study when we learn Sefer HaMitzvahs, or when we learn in Parshas Kedoshim, get to Leviticus 19:18, and we read the verse, then we can understand, what did this verse add, why did Rashi comment as he did, and so on and so forth. But here, the Alter Rebbe is not talking about how you understand it as a mitzvah versus an idea, but rather, just forget about mitzvah or idea. How do you fulfill this altogether? And nobody will argue that it's supposed to be fulfilled. How do you fulfill it? So the Alter Rebbe here comes to tell you how to fulfill it. He says, if you've been with me, if you're actually hanging on, if you're still, you didn't fall off the wagon yet. We got to chapter 32. You've learned these ideas. You've downloaded them and actualized them. You've fulfilled them. He says, guess what? Mazel tov. Now you've reached mitzvah avas Yisrael. Now you've come to the threshold, to the portal, to the segue into the mitzvah. So in the previous chapters, what do we speak about? What does it say? What is the kiyum hadvar manal? We spoke about that a person comes to the realization that he has to have the greatest joy in what? In the nefesh. Because otherwise, if he focuses on the body, what does he end up with? A lot of melancholy, sadness, depression. He's a failure. I didn't get anywhere. And my body keeps getting in the way. And every time I lifted myself just a bit, boom, I trip again. So a person gets down. And this kind of thought actually is one of sobriety, great sobriety. So much so that it shatters the walls of indifference. Not with a pat on the back, but rather with a zetz in the head. So the person is high and mighty, full of themselves. Boom! He gets a hit over the head. What are you so high and mighty about? You're lower than a gnat, lower than a mosquito, you're lower than an animal, and so on and so forth. The Alter Rebbe gave us all these things to think about. So now I'm feeling kind of low. How am I going to be joyous? The Alter Rebbe says, how you be joyous? Now you're going to refocus your attention on the neshama, and you're going to live with the soul. And the soul's job is to release itself, to unshackle itself from the prison of the bodily reality. And when you could do this, then you will have a great sense of elation and a great sense of happiness and fulfillment. Now the Alter Rebbe says that if you can reach this to the point that your simcha, that your joy, your fulfillment in life will be simchas hanefesh levado, that becomes your entire focus. And you have to have fulfilled that, because if you were getting down at the fact that you aren't the way you're supposed to be, here's the way you can be joyous. So now that you've become joyous, despite the fact that you have all these other issues and problems which seem to get in the way, so if so, at this point, your bodily reality should have been relegated to a far second place, a distant second place. First place is the neshama. So anytime there's a question of how do I proceed, what do I do, what do I focus on, what would the neshama want? How do I set my neshama free? That's the question you ask yourself. Not what's in it for me. Not is this going to be fun. Not is this a pleasure. Not how does this fit into my big ambitious plans of physical material success. But rather, is this something that will set the neshama free? Imagine you live like that. Imagine every crossroads in life. That would be the question you ask. Does this set my neshama free or maybe not? And that's how you would make the decisions of whether you do or don't go or stay put, etc. So if you come to that point and you find your joy in the Simchas Nefesh Levada, as I told you that once upon a time there was people who rejoiced in the fact that they overcame a tiny little challenge of the Yetzirah. They didn't go where they shouldn't go. They didn't look what they shouldn't look. They didn't think what they shouldn't think. And they took joy in that. And that little victory, there was a joy in that victory. I knocked them down. I managed to overcome this little challenge that Hashem threw my way, which seems like a big challenge when you're in the middle of it. So then, if that's where your simcha is, then you've come to a straightforward mitzvah, a possibility, a segue to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael. And this now has to be emphasized. The mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael is not, like many mitzvahs, a mitzvah of action. A mitzvah of something you're supposed to do. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah, do mitzvahs, things which you should do or don't do, which are linked to Ahavas Yisrael. So, for example, the mitzvah we learned about a few weeks ago, that when you see your enemy's donkey faltering, and you should overcome your natural inclination to say, his donkey's faltering. Ha! I love it. Can I watch this? No. You're going to go over and help him. He's sort of poor guy. Why am I going to help him? He's my enemy. I can't stand him. Well, because he's your member. He's your brother and sister. He's a fellow Yid. You have a responsibility towards them. So what's the mitzvah there? I don't love this guy. I can't stand him. I can't believe I'm doing this. That's fine. As long as you put on a straight face, as long as you did what had to be done, as long as you loaded the donkey, the mitzvah is done. It's a do mitzvah. And then you're somebody saying foolish things, doing foolish things, and you can have a really, really great moment of levity at this person's expense. He is literally the town, the village idiot, and you could use him to become popular, and you're going to abuse him and harass him and take advantage of him, which is called the mitzvah of Hinoah, and all of a sudden you stop and you think and you say, that's a sin. I'm not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take advantage of somebody, exploit them with your words. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't love him. I don't love him at all. In fact, I was just about to make an absolute fool out of him. But I didn't do it. Why didn't I do it? Because the Torah says, Sugazun, don't do it. And I could give you many other examples, 30 or 40 other examples of mitzvah and Torah, which are things I should do or shouldn't do, which ultimately are linked to the fulfillment of, the actualization of, Ahavas Yisrael. But it's possible to do all of those mitzvahs without feeling one shred of love, not feeling one ounce of emotion. I'm just functionally doing it. I don't like it. I don't like him. I'm doing it. But the mitzvah, and this is what you said, Nathan, is that even a mitzvah? It is a mitzvah. And there are mitzvahs, not so many, but there are mitzvahs which are called chayves halvavos, mitzvahs which are obligations on the heart, not just obligations on the hands and feet, not just things that we're supposed to actually do, but there are mitzvahs of feelings. For example, v'ahavta es Hashem elikecha, you have to love Hashem your God. So what is up? A person goes through life, he wake up in the morning, did all the mitzvahs he's supposed to do, did everything, he behaved as a perfect, dutiful Jew, doing everything that the Jew is supposed to do. But love God? I don't love God. I'm angry at God. I hate God. I'm so frustrated at God. Why did God do this to me? Is that okay? No, it's not okay. Well, why not? I am perfectly orthodox. Every single possible opportunity, check, 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 check. I did everything I should do. Because there's a mitzvah that says I have to serve Hashem with my heart also. And if I don't love Hashem, that's a problem. So I have to work on that. And of course, this question is asked, how could you command somebody to love? I don't love. I'm not happy about it. I don't love. So they work on it. There are ways. There's a methodology to get to that mitzvah, and that's not the discussion for this morning, how we get to the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. My point is, it's a mitzvah of Chayves Halvavos. It's a mitzvah in the heart. There's a mitzvah of having reverence for Hashem. Reverence or awe is in the heart. It's not just a question of reverential behavior. It's a question of it being in the heart. And similarly, here, the Torah tells us it's not just enough to behave nicely. It's not just enough to act respectfully. It's not just enough to do what somebody else would like you to do because you would want that done to you. It's actually necessary for you to love that person. It's not called love.
Selfishness.
What selfishness?
Because the person who helps the donkey is doing it because he was told by the Torah. And nothing else is to serve his own purpose and not to help his fellow.
Okay. This is a good question. And so let's take a minute to deal with it. Your question is that the person who's serving his fellow, doing nice things like helping his donkey, because Hashem told him, you're saying ultimately it's just selfish.
Exactly.
Okay. It could be, people could fulfill Torah and mitzvahs in a selfish way to the point that they forget about other people altogether as they're doing them a favor. There is such a possibility. It's not so common, but such a possibility. I think a few weeks ago I told you that it's a famous story. Some guy showed up in a Litvish shtetl, some poor man, and he was begging for alms, and literally he was like, you know, bedraggled and filthy and torn, and they took the guy and they incarcerated him. They locked him in the basement somewhere, and they were throwing food down a chute, and they said, what is this? What did I do wrong? Why did you lock me up? They said, Purim is in 5 weeks. Every year in Purim we look for a poor person, and we can't fill the mitzvah. Now we have you. We lock you up. We'll keep you alive till Purim. And then on Purim, we're all going to do the mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yainim. Right? So that's a caricature of what you're saying, where a person does a mitzvah in a selfish way. Right? So he says, I need to do the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim. Could you wait here, please? I'll be back here in a few minutes because I need to do... No, I got to go now. No. I need the mitzvah of Achnasas Archim. So it's all about me and you are just a cog or a stepping stone for me to get to my Gan Eden.
Actually, you're violating the mitzvah.
Huh? You actually would be violating the mitzvah, right? You'd be abusing somebody. Well, I think the reason I told you was about the idea of... The Rambam says that doing something repetitively actually makes us change, which modern psychology corroborates. So if a person has an actual need, like they need to buy a bagel and a bottle of water to stay alive, and you come over and say, here's a penny. I'll be back in 10 minutes with another penny, right? And you torture the guy for an hour and a half, giving him a penny every 10 minutes until he has a dollar to go buy himself a bottle of water because you want to have a lot of mitzvahs. And the other guy's expense. That's not a mitzvah. That's not cool. That's a violation of the mitzvah. That's torture. Yes, it's possible for a person to do mitzvahs in which he becomes totally self-absorbed. I understand that. But Menachem, think about this for a second. Do you not think it's possible for a person to see somebody faltering with a donkey, not wanting to help him, in fact, wanting to experience what we call schadenfreude, which is the delight in somebody else's misfortune, to laugh at somebody else's suffering, and you don't do that? And why don't you do it? Because you know that as a Torah Jew, you're supposed to go help him. So you bite hard, and you go do it. And you're not even thinking about Gan Eden and rewards. You're just thinking about this is what Hashem wants me to do. It's not exactly selfish. It's not selfish. It's selfless. I'm doing something selfless. I'm doing something because I believe this is the right thing to do because what Hashem told me to do. I'm not happy about it. I don't love the guy. Is that the fulfillment of Ahavas Yisrael? The answer is, it's not the fulfillment of Ahavas Yisrael. It is the fulfillment of Ozev Tazev Imai. I did the mitzvah fully, not selfishly. I did the mitzvah. I can't stand this guy. But I did the mitzvah because the Torah says I should do it.
I have a problem with that.
You have a problem with that.
I have a problem with that. Because
which?
The thing is, if you say I can't stand the guy,
yeah,
and I'm just doing it,
yeah,
first of all, there's no connection and there's no revelation. It's basically, it's just, it's functional.
Yeah, it's
so
functional.
If it's just functional, what, yeah, are you getting out of it?
What are you? It's not about you.
But why is but you're not serving Hashem.
Sure you're serving Hashem.
There are some mitzvahs that you don't understand at all.
You're not serving Hashem. Stop and think. One second. I'm doing something I really don't want to do for one reason and one reason only. Because Hashem said I should do it. That's not serving Hashem. That's the ultimate service to Hashem.
I'm going to do it to serve Hashem, but my intentions are incorrect. Okay, so I'm doing it.
There's no incorrect. We're not talking about the locking up the poor man in the basement so we can have someone to put him. Here we're talking about doing the mitzvah of Ozev Tazev Imai. I'm going to help this guy load his donkey. I can't stand the guy. What do you have a problem? I give this guy a gold medal. He can't stand the person, and he is rolls his sleeves up, bends down, and he's helping pick up packages, and he can't stand the person? He's a hero. He's a real Ivan Elikim. He's serving God. He's doing something he doesn't want to do because God said to do it.
Well, it's a moral obligation.
It's a moral obligation?
Yeah, you know, there's some countries that a person could be convicted.
But if you do it long enough.
Let's not confuse things over here. What you're talking about is the law that says that a doctor who's under the Hippocratic Oath, if he passes by an accident scene and he could stop and help and he doesn't, that he could be prosecuted. I'm not sure if that even happens. We're not talking about somebody who's in danger. The most that's going to happen is he's going to lose his packages and his donkey's going to run off. It's not a moral obligation for me to help somebody when they're struggling, especially they didn't help me last week, and now I have a chance to laugh and get revenge. And it's perfectly human, and in the Western world, it's done every hour of the day. People do this all the time. You think Ozev Tazev Imai only means a donkey? Ozev Tazev Imai means that there's somebody struggling in business, the person who buried you last week, the person who made sure that you didn't get the deal, and now he needs the deal, and he's going to lose the deal. And you could easily help him and get the deal. All you need is to send one text message. That's all you need. Or just to tell him one word. And you could say, I'm going to help this guy? You got to be kidding. I know what he did. I'm going to help him? And what does the Torah say you should do? Ozev Tazev Imai. If you help his donkey suffer, you don't think you should help him? So, but I don't like him. Okay. Did you do the mitzvah? You know what you got out of it? You did what Hashem wanted. But the point Al Rebbe makes here is we're talking about a different mitzvah here. The mitzvah of Ozev Tazev, you fulfilled 100%. You loaded the donkey. The donkey is happy. The person is happy. Sure, he's happy. His donkey is loaded. The donkey is not unhappy. He's not suffering anymore. So you alleviated the suffering of the donkey. The anxiety of the person who owns the donkey is dissipated. Everything's loaded up. You did your mitzvah. Which mitzvah didn't you do? Because the mitzvah of Yahavta Kamecha is not a functional mitzvah. The mitzvah of Yahavta Kamecha is a emotional mitzvah. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm making, this is a contradistinction between the mitzvah of Avihavta L'Reach Kamecha and so many other mitzvahs which are linked and seem to be an extension of loving your fellow, but don't necessarily require love at all. So, here's where I'll agree with you. If we're in a situation where there's a marriage, and the spouses dutifully do what the other spouse wants, I can't stand you, but I do whatever you want. It's not a marriage. It's a business arrangement. It's not a marriage. They could even go through intimacy in a functional manner. If there's no love, it means they don't really care about each other. It's not a marriage. Because one of the things of a marriage is Ava, V'achva, V'shalom, V'reos, like we say in the Sheva Brachas. So these are things that are supposed to accomplish it. But a person says, excuse me, I'm not married to this guy. I just happens to be my erstwhile, long-lost Jewish brother. I don't care about him. I don't like him. He doesn't like me. In fact, he did everything possible to hurt me and harm me. And I don't really want to help him. But I'm going to. You know why? Because Torah said I have to. So I'm going to bow my head in submission and do what Hashem wants. Beautiful. The bells are ringing. The angels are singing. You have won the gold medal. You did the mitzvah of Azav Tazav Imei 100%. Which mitzvah didn't you do? That's the point we're making here. Now, the Rebbe says, the point here, the challenge of this mitzvah is that it's an emotional mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that lives in the recesses of your heart, of your mind and your soul, your emotions. This is the challenge. Especially because... He didn't, well, depends how you term Aveira. The word chet, which means sin, also has the gematria of the word chesaron, which means a lack. So if a Jew, chas v'shalom, lets today go by and the sun will set and he didn't put on tefillin, then did he do an Aveira? Which sin did he violate? He didn't violate any sin, but he lost the positive mitzvah of putting on tefillin today, which will never come back. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually an Aveira. So here's the interesting thing. If a person comes to you and asks for tzedakah, and you said tzedakah? Well, help yourself. Get a job. Bug off. You didn't give him tzedakah. Did you do an Aveira?
Yes.
The answer is you didn't do a positive mitzvah and you did an Aveira. Because there's a sin in the Torah to make believe you didn't notice somebody else has a need. So you knew he had a need and it's called Lesuch Lehisalim. You know, I saw no evil. I heard no evil. I was meditating on Chassidus. I didn't even notice this guy had an issue. Understand? That's an Aveira. So that's a positive and a negative. And there are many mitzvahs like that that have positives and negatives. But there are also mitzvahs that have only positive. And a major mitzvah like tefillin, it's a major mitzvah. It's one of them. I didn't do an Aveda if I didn't. I didn't violate one of the 365 negative commandments. And one of the negative commandments is, do not let a day go by without putting on tefillin. I just didn't do an opportunity. So that's also an Aveda.
So
it's a chisaron, not an
Aveda. A chisaron is ultimately a violation of God's will.
So if I did this mitzvah of loading the donkey, yeah, example, and I did it with gladness of heart, I get two mitzvahs?
If I did the mitzvah and I have Avos Yisroel when I did the mitzvah, yeah, I get two mitzvahs. I did Azav Tazav and I get a mitzvah Avos Yisroel, which, by the way, Hillel says is the whole Torah, which Rebbe Akiva says is a klal gadol.
Does the mitzvah actually say the burden of your enemy?
Yeah.
It doesn't just say any.
Kisira chamer senacha. These kind of mitzvahs always speak about the extreme. The person you wouldn't. But the mitzvah of burial, for example, talks to us with regard to somebody who is executed by the court for his sins, for his crime. A convicted criminal, the worst kind of convict. Torah says, make sure you bury him, give him human dignity. If even he deserves human dignity, for sure everybody deserves human dignity. The mitzvah says the mitzvah of going to a funeral, who's the mitzvah? The mitzvah tells a kohen to go to the closest of kin. If the kohen is not allowed to go to the cemetery, is told to go to this funeral, it's self-understood that everybody who doesn't have a proscription of going to funerals for sure should go. So the Torah always goes to an extreme, and that way, so the Torah says, you see the donkey of your enemy, if the donkey of my enemy, how much more so, if I'm just ambivalent to him, how much more so, if it's actually somebody that I know and care about, for sure I have to go ahead and make a difference. It's not so simple what you said. You're saying that the donkey story is about the pain of the donkey, but it's not true because it's only if it's chamer senacha, if it's your fellow Jew. If it's not your fellow Jew, you're not obligated. It's a nice thing to do. You should do it. You should help every person, but it's not actually an obligation.
I'm not talking about helping the person. But
I'm explaining to you that the mitzvah of the donkey is connected to the mitzvah of ultimately of helping your fellow Jew.
Okay.
It is connected to that mitzvah. It doesn't say when you see your enemy's donkey, start to love him and then help his donkey. Because it would say, like, the mitzvah of tzedakah is to give to somebody who is in need. It doesn't say love him first and then give him tzedakah. It's a person will come to me, please, please, could you help me? I'm starving. Give me a half hour. I'm working on loving you. When I finish, when I work up love for you, then I'll give you money. In the meantime, the guy's dead a half hour later. So, well, at least I love him now. But he's dead. Yeah, but I love him. I don't love him. Okay, you should still give tzedakah to him. Feed him. It's a mitzvah to save his life. The guy is now fell into a lion's den. What should I do? I'm going to work on loving him. The lions are eating him. I don't love him yet. One second. So this is, the emphasis here is on finding this mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. And the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, my dear friends, is l'chol nefesh m'Yisrael. It's to every single member of the Jewish people. L'migadol v'ad katan, be he or she great or even small. And of course, this is still requires a lot more explanation. And we will, be'ezrat Hashem, continue next Sunday.
Which mitzvah did you say? 102? Mitzvah 102, did you say?